Let's start off with a word of prayer this morning. We're going to be talking about prayer. Father, thank you again for the privilege to come into your most holy presence at this hour. We thank you, Lord, that we can come boldly before your throne of grace. And we just thank you for the privilege of doing that. And it's all because of your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who bore our sins in his body, shed his precious blood to pay the full price of our sin debt, died, was buried, rose again the third day, and he sits at your right hand now making intercession for us. You commended your love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Father, we just thank you again for what is a great privilege to look into your inerrant word. We pray that our hearts would be positioned now to be fed from your word. The power is in your word, not in mine. And Lord, we just need to be attentive to it. Try to shut out the things of the world and the many things that keep us busy throughout each and every day. And just focus on you and on your word this morning. And we ask this all in your Son's precious name. Amen. So we decided, or I decided after much thought, trying to do a topical study, what to call it, we settled on the protocols of prayer. And we talked initially about all different phases of life and things that we get involved with have protocols, like ambassadors going to countries and all that. And we moved through that. And then last week we got to the point where we started to talk about reverence. The reverence of God, the reverence that needs to exist in our prayer life. And we got talking about in Psalm 89, verse 7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. Well, this is the assembly of the saints. And the question is this morning, is God feared in our hearts? Is there a reverence? Is there something in our hearts right now that's taking its attention away from the fact that we have come before the most holy God, the creator and sustainer of all things? And we've asked for his attention, and so we need to give him our attention. And we didn't get very far last week. We got talking about the reverence that God has required, and we got talking about his holiness. Something that we know about, but we really cannot wrap our hands or our mental hands around the holiness of God. We look at things that are holy in the sense set aside for use here in our services and things like that. But when it comes to holiness, it's kind of the foundational thing. When we speak of the Lord, he is holy and we are only holy through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy, gathering together before holy. That's the way our relationship to the Father must be. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, and one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And we talked about that. Well, let me go again to Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them and were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Holy, holy, holy is the only perfection of God. We talked about this last week. Is the only perfection of God that is repeated in triplet in the Bible. And that's not a mistake. That's not just something extra. It's there. We never say mercy, 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 or grace, 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 but holy, holy, holy. And so in our prayer life, we need to be prepared to come before a holy God, and we need to have our attention totally focused on him. We talked about this man, Reginald Hebner, was born in 1783, a bright young youth, translating a Latin classic into English when he was 7 years old. I can't imagine that, even doing it at 80. But he was bright, And one of the hymns he wrote was, Holy, Holy, Holy. And in verse 3 it says, Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eyes of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy. There is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love, and purity. Now, even as a youth in our church, Methodist church, we sang that song. Is one of the songs that we sang. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went to his house, and his window being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he knelt down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God, as he did aforetime. He came in a very reverent way, an example of his reverence. The window open, the consequences of what he was doing was of no interest to him. He was going about to do what he always did, and that was come before a holy God in prayer. And so we talked about that some way. We didn't get very far last week, and there's so much more that we could say about that, but we moved on to the word, to cleansing. And so we talked about the cleansing that needs to occur in our life before we go before the Lord, understanding his holiness. And understanding who we are. In Psalm 24, verse 3, this is just some review that from last week. I tend to review a little just to get kind of a running start, so to speak, on the new material. In Psalm 24, verse 3, Who shall ascend up into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. And so, clean hands and a pure heart. These are positive attributes of an accepted petitioner. In other words, these are the things that we should have when we go before the Lord in prayer. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. And when ye spread forth your hands in prayer, I believe is the situation, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Our hands are full of blood with abortion. We have bloody hands. As a nation, we have bloody hands, and we are part of that nation. And so we've almost given up on the issue of abortion. It comes and it goes. It comes and it goes. It all depends on who's running the government at any given time. But you know, it's God is not going to ignore that with regard to judgment of our nation. He tells us at the end of Isaiah 1:16, he says, Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. Prayer is important business that we do with God. It's not a ritual. If it becomes a ritual, it becomes of no effect. And so there was a number of other, Psalm 51, verse 6, Psalm 100, at Thanksgiving, we almost always recite Psalm 100. It's only what, 6 verses, I think. Enter in his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, because he's holy, holy, holy. And then Psalm 139, verse 23, Proverbs 28, 13, and others, Amos says in verse Chapter 3, verse 3, again, very familiar verses. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, God is holy. He never, you know, the world we talked about with the last week, the world is trying to bring God down to our level. And they're trying to bring the animals up to our level so that they treat everything will be treated the same. And they're making good progress. They're making good progress. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Old things are become new. We're supposed to be living that way. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. For those of us saved late in life, like I was, it's hard to forget those things that are left behind because there are so many of them, so very many of them. But Christ paid the price for all of them.
Amen. Amen.
Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with the true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. In Exodus chapter 29, verse 4, and Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall wash them with water. All this is there for examples for us. They washed physically before they went in before the Lord. They dressed different. They didn't go in their work clothes. In Leviticus 8:6, Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. The doctrines of the New Testament regarding washing are spiritual ones, though, for us. And we need to wash and wash, constantly, constantly being cleansed. The Old Testament was physical cleansing before approaching God was very much a part of the worship there. Physical worship. It was the high priest that only could go before the Lord in the Holy of Holies. In James chapter 4, verses 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify ye hearts, ye double-minded. Again and again, we're told to cleanse ourselves before we go. We tend to want to just talk to the Lord he is a friend, but he's not a buddy. We don't ever want to try to bring him down to that level. So whether we're deep in prayer, praying for many, many people, and doing our devotions in the morning or the evening, you know, even when we're out at our meals and things like that, the praying and what we call the giving of grace should not be a ritual. We need to be truly thankful for what we're about to partake. And we just get so used to just using the words over and over again. I mentioned the pastor, and I had to change my prayer life to get up here and give this lesson, because I couldn't teach things that I wasn't doing. And so it's had an impact on me, and every week there's a little something extra that keeps coming in. He says, purify your hearts. In James 4:8, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. In our culture, the word hands physical. We talk about we all have a hand in it. You know, we use that. We talk about we participated in something. Well, frankly, we all have a hand in abortion because we're part of the nation. We're part of the nation. The nation's going to be judged. The Spirit says we must draw near unto God with clean hands and pure heart. Repenting and confessing up to date, we need to keep short accounts with God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Well, there's the washing that we need. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father by me. You know, you just can't leave it there. Consider for a moment how often our prayers end in something like in Jesus' name or in his name. I start to meddle, you know, a little bit here. At times we are so anxious to move on to the next event that we say these words as if it were, as we turn or sit down, or often in such a low voice that it can hardly be heard. It's like a period at the end of a sentence. Do we need to acknowledge the Lord? Do we need to acknowledge the Lord in our prayers? Or do we just start talking to the Father and then we say what we want to say and give it an amen and move on? I mean, does God receive that? Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How does our Heavenly Father see those prayers in our closing words? Shouldn't there be more emphasis on our only path to the Father and the cost paid for that path? Like I said, we often treat Jesus' name like a period at the end of a sentence. There's no communication started with the Father without the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no righteousness of our own. We come cleansed in his blood. We need to acknowledge that. Maybe we should mention it at the beginning of our prayers. You know, Father, you know, before we start our prayer time or our prayers or the things that we want to say, maybe we need to just remind ourselves of why we are able to talk to our Heavenly Father. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have to be cleansed from that unrighteousness, or the Father is not going to listen to us. This is where we need to begin this cleansing every day. If you start the day without prayer, and so much more could be said. So much more could be said about it. And we'll maybe get back a little bit next week again. But I'm going to move on to gratitude. The protocol of gratitude. We talk about the protocol of cleansing, the protocol of the Father, you know, and all the different protocols that there are contained within our prayer life. In Webster's 1828 dictionary, it says, gratitude is an emotion of the heart, excited by a favor or benefit received, a sentiment of kindness or goodwill towards a benefactor, thankfulness. Gratitude is an agreeable emotion consisting in or accompanied with goodwill to the benefactor, a disposition to make a suitable return of benefits or services when no return can be made, with a desire to see the benefactor prosperous and happy. Gratitude is the virtue is a virtue of highest excellence, as it implies a feeling and a generous heart and a proper sense of duty. The love of God is the sublimest of gratitude. For us to love, we need to love the Lord. Not just say we love, we need to truly, truly love the Lord. That's where God sees the gratitude of it. I still have great gratitude. Gratitude is long-lasting. We praise our children. I get ahead of myself, but sometimes we'll praise our children in school if they do well. You know, we'll say, good job, well done. That's praise. 2 or 3 years later, you say, remember when I did? They don't remember that. You know, they don't remember that praise. But we gratitude is something that goes on and on. Gratitude, we look at thanksgiving and gratitude together, kind of. They're closely related, but gratitude seems to be longer lasting. Sense of appreciation even lasting a lifetime. I can remember the time I got saved. I can remember where I was and what I was doing. I can't remember the time, and I don't have the day, but I have the month. It was in May of 1986. It was either a Wednesday night or a Sunday night. I can get that close. And I still remember that day. I have gratitude for that. I have gratitude for that. In Job chapter 1, verse 21, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, Job had gratitude for... He wasn't happy about his situation, but he had gratitude for all that the Lord had done for him. He remembered that. In Psalm chapter 34, and verse 1, a psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech and drove him away and he departed, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in his mouth. Well, he had praise, but he also had a sense of gratitude. When you go back and think of all that the Lord did for David in keeping him safe from the intents of Saul to kill him. And he had many, many opportunities to take care of that, and he didn't, because he respected the Lord's chosen king at that time. In Psalm 95, verse 2, it says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. So here again, these Old Testament scriptures are examples for us, and they admonish us to do certain things. Here, I think we're told that we come before His presence with thanksgiving, not complaining, and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. And they used to sing the psalms, some of them we do also. In Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. So our approach to God in prayer, again, we are told that we are to approach Him with thanksgiving. We are to approach Him with praise, to be thankful. To be thankful. Psalm 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. All the benefits that He has provided for us. In Psalm 118, verse 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Appreciation for every new day the Lord gives us. It should be a new opportunity to do something for the Lord. You get out in the morning. I mean, if you get out early, I try to get out early to walk with the dog. But the sunrise, even the dawn can be beautiful, and the sunrise and the clouds, cloud formations. Marjorie and I used to always look for animals and things in the clouds, and you can see them there if you try hard enough. And all that is God given us. That we shouldn't take even that for granted. And then when you see the thunder clouds coming and the skies darken and then in places where it almost goes black, you can still say, wow. You can see the power and maybe the anger of God in that. He shows us all these things. In Luke chapter 17, verses 12 through 19, a familiar passage of Scripture. And as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when He saw them, He said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God. That's key. That's a key phrase there. This man returned. His return gave glory to God. Save, he says, are not found to give glory to God. Save this stranger. Now, I got to believe that those other 9 lepers were pleased about the fact that when they looked at their skin, that they were cleansed. They were pleased about that. But they failed to give the person that caused that to happen to them the glory that he justly deserved. 10 of them were given the gift of healing, and only one was grateful. Only one. In Luke chapter 24, verse 17, and he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one with another as you walk and are sad? And one of them said, whose name was Cleopas, answering unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deeds, and the word before God and all the people. And now the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we see concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in God and word before God and all his people. That's praise. That was kind of praise. Of course, they were not aware at that point in time that they were talking to the Lord Jesus Christ himself at that time. In Romans chapter 1, verse 8, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Notice the target of the gratitude is God the Father, but the path is through Jesus Christ, the Lord. We can't get to the Father without going through the Lord Jesus. Right. Even for us believers, we can't. 1 Corinthians 1:4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus, by Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that we have this the gratitude, giving thanks and for the things that he's done. Gratitude is more than, I guess I'm saying gratitude is more than praise. We'll talk about praise in a minute, but it's more than praise. It's more, it goes beyond that. It's something that you cherish. It doesn't fade away. It's not like you get your meals and the waitress or the waiter comes before you and provides something you hadn't expected. You say, thank you. That's the end of it. That's all the praise that person's going to get from you. But when it comes to the things of God, when we're talking to the Lord and we're asking for things or he's provided things, we need to not only to thank him and have an attitude of gratitude and remember those things, all that he's done in our life. We need to reflect on all he's done in our lives. This is, you know, in Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. It is interesting that the thanks is given to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is God mentioned here when the Father is also mentioned? I found that interesting. All things unto God and the Father. When we usually see God by itself, we usually think of God, it's God the Father. But here it has unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you've got three things mentioned there. You've got God mentioned there, you've got the Father mentioned there, and you have the Lord Jesus Christ. What you don't see in all of these verses is the mention of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is very much a part of our prayer life, being indwelled by him. And so sometimes I think when I see something like that, I'm thinking it's really included in the Godhead, in the reference here to God and the Father. The Spirit is not, you know, in our dispensation, the Spirit is not seeking any of the glory. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks of him. In John chapter 16, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, and I hope he's come to everyone that's here in this auditorium, he will guide you in all truth, for he will not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And then we go on to Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And there again, that's that interesting statement, thanks to God and the Father by him. So that in itself would be an interesting study, and we're not going to go any farther in that. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, and everything means everything. Everything. So sometimes that's not easy to do. But nothing happens in our life that God doesn't know or about or allow, and that sometimes bring to pass. Nothing. So let's look at praise, the protocol of praise. It's very similar. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines praise as commendation bestowed on a person for his personal virtues or worthy actions, meritorious actions themselves, or on anything valuable. Approbation, that's approval expressed in words or song. To extol in words or song, to magnify, to glory on account of perfections or excellent works. So we sing songs of praise. That's what we often do here, and rightfully so. And when I was growing up, I attended a local Methodist church before they became united in heresy. And so two liturgical songs of my childhood were the Gloria Patri and the Doxology. Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and so they were sung in the churches. But shouldn't praise have some purpose or some target? Should not praise have some reason attached to it to be we talk about people who have faith in faith. There's no such thing. It's a myth. Faith has to have a target. It has to have a goal. It has to have a foundation. Faith in faith is meaningless. Well, just praise for praise's sake. It has to be directed to someone. It has to be directed. It has to be genuine. When it appears at a recurring point, in the sermon, we sang those two songs every Sunday of every month of every year that I went there. The same songs were sung over and over again. Nothing was ever said about them, and I believe it just became a ritual. And we have to guard against that. It's so easy for that to happen to us. In Psalm 16, verse 11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forever." This is honor and praise in other words. Yeah, I mean, you can praise someone in other words without using the word praise. You say, good job. That's praise. And so there are other things that can be said. You can tell someone you are always joyful in their presence. There are people like that. They come into your presence and all of a sudden you're just so glad to see them. And you praise them it's so good to see you. And you really mean it. Imagine that. You really mean it. When we do come in God's presence, why do we come in God? He's omnipresent. So why do we ask to come into his presence when he's omnipresent? Well, that's part of the mystery of God. But when we do come into God's presence, when we come to the forefront of our heart, it's when he comes to the forefront of our heart and our mind. You know, we say, let's pray. If you're thinking about something else, you're not coming into his presence in the sense of that fellowship being connected there. When we come into, it needs to come, his person, and he needs to come to the forefront of our heart and our mind. Not all communications to the Father is necessarily prayer in the sense that we talk about it. When walking through God's creation, we get visions of his beauty. So we're not praying about it, we're just praising him for it. Or we should be praising him for it. We get visions of beauty and the awesomeness of God's handiwork. I said the sunrises, sunsets, cloud formations, the flowers, the trees, the rivers, the surface. They're all beautiful things to look at. And we can praise God for them. We don't necessarily go to prayer, but we can praise them for those things. And because they're on our senses, on our sight, they're pleasing to us, and he has provided them. In Psalm 22, boy, the time just went. Amazing. Okay, let me just give a couple here, and then we'll be done. Psalm 22, verse 3, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." And that word inhabitest can also be translated judgeth. Judgeth. The Greek word also has the idea of judging. The Hebrew translation, and it has other meanings. Our praises need to be, I think the idea, they need to be legitimate. God is not interested in our flattery. In other words, he is angry at our flattery. We don't flatter God. We either mean it or we shouldn't say it, because every idle word will be held accountable for. Psalm 32. No, I'm going to finish there. I said I'm going to be done. All right. Father, thank you again for the privilege to come into your most holy presence again. And thank you for your word that you've preserved down through the age. Again, thank you for your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. His unspeakable gift is beyond measure in man's ability. He died for sinners, paid the full price of our sin debt. The list was long, long, long. And he bore them all, shed his precious blood, paid the full price of our sin debt, died, was buried, rose again the third day, and sits at your right hand even now. Lord, may we honor and glorify you and him in all that we do or say, asking it all in his precious name. Amen.